Senator Halford, Senator Elton, and Senator Ferguson. We'll take up Senate, or House Bill 61. This is introduced by House Rules, request of the Governor. It's an act authorizing the Commissioner of Fish and Game to award grants for habitat restoration and enhancement projects. Go ahead, introduce yourself for the record and tell us what we got here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Ken Taylor. I'm the Director of the Habitat and Restoration Division for the Department of Fish and Game. HB 61 authorizes the Commissioner of Fish and Game to have granting authority for federal receipts. These federal receipts are limited to those federal receipts that are not federal aid funds that the department currently receives under the Pittman-Robertson, Dingell-Johnson, or the Wallet-Bro programs. In 1995, the department received a CIP from the legislature for enhancement grants on the Kenai River. However, we had no granting authority to implement that directly. Because of our lack of granting authority, we had to go to a federal agency, partner with them, funnel the money through the federal agency that took 11% of the total gross, and then award the grants from the federal agency to the individuals. We've conducted 170 cost share programs on the Kenai River for habitat restoration with these funds. By passing this bill, that will essentially eliminate the middleman. They won't take their 11%, and we'll be able to deal with this much more effectively administratively. Currently, there's a strong national emphasis on habitat restoration for salmon in the Pacific Northwest. And I believe that the funding available for these activities is going to increase substantially over the next several years. And we would like the opportunity to be able to partner with Alaskans on salmon restoration activities on private lands where it's needed.
And is this still subject to our power to appropriate it?
Mr. Chairman, absolutely. Every dollar that comes to the department is appropriated through the legislature.
Senator Taylor.
Where do these funds come from today?
To the chair, Senator Taylor, the first set of funds that we had was EVO's criminal settlement funds that was passed in SB 183, I believe, in 1995. Those funds will be exhausted by the end of this fiscal year we're in right now. And we have asked Congress for an appropriation for the Kenai Peninsula in their FY02 budget.
These aren't CARA Lite funds?
Through the chair, no, Senator Taylor, they are not. We do have funds that were appropriated by the legislature for Southeast Sustainable Salmon Research, Monitoring, and Restoration. And a portion of those funds may be available for these types of restoration projects.
That is the salmon treaty.
Through the chair, no, these are not salmon treaty funds. The salmon treaty funds are what's called the Northern Fund, I believe, and that's a trust fund that's being funded through Congress right now that's a separate fund entirely. The funds that I'm talking about are $14 million that were received by the state in the federal fiscal year 00 budget, and then I think there was an additional $10 million that came in the 01 budget. And there is some association with the treaty, but they are not what are referred to as treaty funds.
Well, it's my understanding that $14 million was the first year of salmon rehabilitation enhancement out of the treaty. We've been counting on seven. We then appropriated some for Crystal out of that because the administration hadn't figured out how they were going to spend it yet. Then we left during the summer and we up to 14 instead of 17. Since then, we've been having some rather extended discussions both with the department and the administration on where those funds would be appropriated to. So my understanding, those funds had to stay below Cape Suckman, I think it was, and north of other designation, and I think that was the area, geographic area, within which those funds were supposed to be spent. Now, if that's the same project out here, we're talking about enhancing some more river, probably the Kenai River, that
Chair, Senator Taylor, you're correct. The $14 million that was received in the FY00 budget was for Cape Suckling to Dixon entrance for salmon restoration, rehabilitation, monitoring, enhancement, those types of activities. As I understand it, they were not directly part of the treaty or the treaty negotiations, but it was an add-on to the National Marine Fisheries Service budget. The actual treaty funds come in what are called the Northern Boundary Fund and the Southern Fund. And the Northern Boundary Fund is being set up as a trust. And since I am not intimately involved in treaty negotiations or the funding, I don't know all the details of that particular fund. Neither one of those funds are what we're talking about for the Kenai. We have asked for a separate appropriation from Congress for the Kenai. I only mention the Southeast Salmon Funds because they were appropriated for research, monitoring, and restoration, and there may be some opportunity to use some of those funds for restoration activities in Southeast. And if that's the case, the granting authority that would be provided in this bill would allow us to partner with private individuals or corporations.
Other questions? Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last year when we considered this, we put an amendment in that added access to the reasons for the use of the funds. And it also added a provision that required the concurrence of the appropriate board, either the board or fisheries or game. You've said in conversation that because there's so many of these that it is probably more cumbersome than necessary to put them through the board process, but there's still, you know, a pretty strong interest, at least mine, that the board be involved in the direction that the department goes. Often it's more set by the department than by the board, and the board is probably closer to and listens to a lot more of the influence. And I wonder about an amendment that on line 7 would add where it says for habitat restoration or enhancement, if we added access as one part of an amendment, and the other part of the amendment would be grant programs authorized under this section are subject to either review or approval, choice of words there, by the Board of Fish or the Board of Game, whichever is appropriate. The initial language had said of a grant, meaning individual grants, and you said there were a number of these, but if it could apply to the grant program, I mean, I'm still interested in seeing the appropriate board have some real input in the selection of these things. I wonder just where the department stands on that kind of language.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Halford, to answer your first part, last year, the First Amendment offered was to include access, and the department had no problem or difficulty with adding access to the language. As you know, we have a very active access defense program within the Habitat Division, and I think we do a very good job with the state. I overlooked that when I put together suggested wording this year simply because I have never found a funding source that would provide access grants. I'm still looking, but haven't been successful yet. It's one of the few programs that we still have in our division that's fully funded by Fish and Game funds. But I have no objection to that provision being added. As to the language referring to the Board of Fish and Board of Game, one of the things that's changed since last year is that the board has officially adopted a sustainable salmon fisheries policy, and within that policy there are provisions for consideration of habitat. In fact, every time the board meets, prior to their meeting, they ask the department to identify salmon stocks of concern, and any stocks that are listed have a procedure that they go through where we identify the habitat concerns and what corrective actions can be taken, if any. The board has a habitat committee that we interact with on a regular basis, and I don't believe that it's really necessary in this particular suggested language to put in an amendment that would address the board, because I think we're already doing that. But the language that you have mentioned, I don't think would cause any undue complications.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, go ahead, Senator Howell.
I'd like to offer an amendment on line 7, asking that restoration had access, in case you find some and after the word projects on line 8, adds the words, or a new sentence, grant programs authorized under this section are subject to approval by the Board of Fisheries or Board of Game, whichever is appropriate. And that means the whole program. It doesn't mean individual grants. We're talking about 25 grants. I think it is probably appropriate to do it.
You get that?
The package.
There has been amendment number 1 offered. Does everybody got the amendment? Is there objection to amendment number 1?
Objection. For the purpose of
Senator Elton, go ahead.
For the purpose of a question to the maker of the amendment. So Senator, you're not saying that the board should review each individual grant. You're saying that the board should give authority to the commissioner to proceed with a program in which he can give grants.
Yes. Well, there'd be an annual grant program, I expect, and if there'd be one approval that covers that program that the administration has presented.
So, if I could follow. So it would be a list. The program, when you talk about the program, you're talking about a list of grantees.
And I would assume that, like, we deal with the DOT is a list that probably goes beyond what they have federal support for, and they probably proceed with what they get federal support for. Is that the way it works?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Halford, basically, once we have the funding available, we advertise the program to the public, and we look at the grant proposals that come in. They're evaluated through a fairly rigorous set of criteria, and those that qualify are funded. And we have not, in the past, we have not taken the whole pot and said, send us your proposals, and when we run out of money, we quit funding them. We ask for the proposals, and those that we think are going to provide a good cost-effective benefit are funded. You know, and that's been done on an annual basis until we've run out of funding.
So I would assume that the approval has to come when they make the initial presentation, and from there it's administered.
Senator Elton, perhaps a question or two questions for Ken. I would assume under the process envisioned by this amendment, I would assume that the way the department or your division has operated in the past, I mean, do you work on a year by year, or is this kind of, you know, we've gotten a proposal from this group in December, we'll make a decision in January, we get another proposal from somebody else in March, we'll make a decision. What's the timing of the process that you envision for the awarding of the grants, or would you be doing it on an annual basis?
The Chair, Senator Elton, it's done on an ongoing basis. Once the funding is available and we figure out where the priorities are, then we will put out the proposal to the public, and people will come to us throughout the year with their proposals. Each proposal will be evaluated. We don't have a granting system like many agencies do, where they advertise proposals have to be in by such and such a date and awards will be made on such and such a date. It's more efficient for us to put it out there, and when people become aware of it, look at them as they come in and award the grants accordingly.
So you don't now bundle, but under the process envisioned here, you would anticipate that you would have to bundle so that you can get concurrence from either the board official or the board of grants.
To the chair, Senator Elton, what I envision, and I hope this is the vision of the committee, is that if we are dealing with, say, the Kenai Peninsula, and we say that there's a stretch on the Kenai River that's a priority, there's the Upper Anchor River where we're having difficulty with ATV crossings and we need to put in some bridges, and we have a couple of other priorities, we would put out to the public these four priorities. These are the types of things we would like to address. We would take that information to the Board of Fish or the Board of Game in the case of the ATVs and say, this is what we're planning on doing for habitat restoration on the Kenai that should interest your user groups. And in fact, that's what we do now. The only part about the wording in this amendment that concerns me is board approval. And the way the board department processes have worked in the past is that the regulations have often been set up where the board authorizes the department to do something, like conduct wolf control in a given area. It doesn't mandate that we have to do it. Great.
Yeah.
But that's the structure that's used. There hasn't been, in any of the statutes that have passed so far, any fiscal oversight in what the department does. There's been that separation of powers between the board and the legislature. The legislature has maintained the fiscal authority, and the board has helped set policy direction.
General, one other question. And it gets back to something that Senator Taylor had talked about. Let's talk about the $14 million. My understanding from your response was that from federal funds, that $14 million would be available for grants under this change. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Elton. The $14 million was authorized for a number of different types of expenditures, one of which was restoration. What portion of that $14 million will be available for restoration, and what portion of that piece would be available for grants is uncertain at this time. We haven't got that far down the road. I just mentioned it as another potential source. It would be a fairly small portion of the overall $14 million.
Right. And the process now used on that $14 million is you have stakeholder review of how those dollars are being used. This would provide another level of review. So you have stakeholder review, department review, and then this would create a board review process. So we essentially be having a lot of reviews on the use of that money.
To the chair, Senator Elton, we normally get a lot of reviews on how we use our money, but and I guess the point I was trying to make is that the board will get that review regardless of whether it's mandated in statute or not.
Thanks, Mr.
Senator Taylor.
Yeah, I move to amend the amendment, and that is after the words grant programs under this section are subject to approval, I would insert are annually subject to approval by the board, so that there'd be an annual review and an annual approval of where they were.
Okay.
I would just be very concerned about where the process that is currently being used on that $14 million, where those monies may end up, administration seriously talk about utilizing those monies as far north as the Kuskokwim. They never intended for that purpose, and at least that's what we were told. And stakeholder review is kind of a meaningless process. It's about like DOT sitting down and saying, here's what the stip is today to a given community. You go home thinking that's where the stip and those capital projects will be, only to find out an amended stip comes out 3 months later, and now every one of your projects are put off for 6 years. So I think that if this annual, if this review is to have anything meaningful at all, as far as board review or board input, and since they're the ones that set the regulations on fish and on food, and I think they probably have a greater expertise than anyone else, we probably ought to have this thing at least annually reviewed on their grants and the grant program, and have the board approve that. All it takes is a simple resolution each year in front of the board. They sit down and review after a lengthy presentation probably. But if in fact there is no approval, then you've got finally some teeth in this process where you don't have any today.
There's an amendment to amendment number one. Is there objection?
Mr. Chairman, I would object to that because I, if I might just speak to that.
Go ahead, Senator
Lane. If what I heard Ken say, as I understand the amendment, the amended amendment would say an annual, and what I heard Ken say was that you don't do an annual review, or the boards don't, but you do it as the grants come in, or as you all put together a review of a given area, so that it would seem that this amendment would tie the hands of the department to not do anything until you get all of these grants together, and annually, once a year, you take this to either the Board of Game or the Board of Fish and for their approval. And that doesn't sound like that's what the department was saying the process is right now. I understand what Senator Taylor is trying to get at, but I think that when you say annually review, I think that ties their hands.
To the chair.
Senator Hill.
No, go ahead. Let me.
All right. Go ahead. Tim.
Sorry. My understanding of the way this amendment is worded is that the grant program authorized under the section would be reviewed annually, right, according to this amendment. So we're looking at the overall program, which would be this year we're going to focus on the Kenai, for instance, or this year we're going to focus in Southeast, and these are the types of things that we're going to do. It wouldn't be the individual grants that are being reviewed. So that problem I don't think would occur. The one problem that might be a little bit difficult for the boards is that the Board of Fish and the Board of Game generally deal with the state on a cyclic basis. They'll deal with Southeast Alaska one board meeting, Southwest Alaska for another board meeting, and Cook Inlet for another board meeting. And so it...
You don't want to debate that, do you?
We could.
They haven't done that since this new board's on there. They've been all over the place.
And there's also things that they do every year for every year.
That's correct.
They'll do this.
You lost that argument.
Okay.
nice try. Senator Halford.
Well, I haven't got any objection to annually. I don't think it hurts it either way. The other way, if it were something that you might need to amend, you could make it grant programs authorized under this section are at least annually subject to approval by the board, so that if they got extra money, they could go in and have another approval. I think that's what, I don't think Senator Lincoln and Senator Taylor were going different directions. I think it was two different worries.
Yeah, if there's individual grants, this is the program, so.
But at least. Yeah. Seems like that makes sense.
Yeah, if I might, that was not my intent, was to hamstring them. I just wanted an annual report, basically, coming back to the board, and a chance for the board to not give their approval or give their input at that point. I just thought it would be healthy, and I realize mistake in Southeast or wherever, it's going to be 3 years before that mistake could get corrected again. And that led to some real hardships during some of those periods of time. So at least on the grant proposals, it just seems healthy to me that they should come back before the board and say, here's what we did with last year, here's what we're thinking of going this next year, we got the following amount of money to do it. What do you guys think of that?
Mr. Chairman, could I have Senator Halford, since he's written that all down, to read that whole
sentence? Okay. Senator Halford. We have an amendment to the amendment offered by Senator Taylor, which adds annually. I would suggest that with the words annually, we say at least annually, so that Senator Lincoln's concern about a change not be lost, so that it would read in context, grant programs authorized under this section are at least annually subject to approval by the Board of Fish or the Board of Game, whichever is appropriate. That way annuals doesn't become a limitation, but it still requires that there be something done every year.
I would ask to modify my amendment to keep those words at least.
Okay. Senator Elk.
Okay, I just need to make sure I understand. So what this amendment does, and I'm going to just say something and people can nod their head yes or shake their head no. So what we've created now is a process at which the board, either one of the boards, will look back at the grants from the previous year and say, geez, we think you did a pretty good job. Keep doing it the way you've been doing it, because we're talking about grant programs. We're not talking about grants. So they review the department's administration of the previous year and then give the nod and say, yeah, do it like you were doing it last time. You did pretty good. Or don't do it. You know, here's where you think you were off. We think you were off track. Don't do that again. Is that what we now have?
Yeah. I think what Ken was saying is they would come in with a project saying they want to put a bridge across the river. But they may accomplish that four or five different ways, so that would be the program.
Through the chair,
the actual grant to accomplish that would not come before the board. But
Senator Elton,
that's not right either.
Well, first of all, the existing program is done by the federal government because the department doesn't have the authority to do it.
Right.
So we're fixing that portion with any of these versions. But I don't think the review by the board is intended to be retrospective. I think it's intended to be prospective. So the department comes in and says, we're going to concentrate on the upper river this year. We worked on the lower river last year. And the board's going to say, yes, we agree with concentrating on the upper river, and that's the approval of the program. And then the department goes forward with the program on the upper river.
Yeah, and if I could follow up on that point. I guess the concern that I've got is the federal funds that we're getting, we don't need to spend them in either the federal fiscal year or the state fiscal year in which we receive them. I mean, we're not in a position where we've added enough time so that you're not going to have access to those federal dollars.
The way we have traditionally received these funds has been through a CIP that's multi-year.
Okay.
We'll get authorization in the federal budget, and then we will come to the legislature and ask for a CIP for 5 years or 6 years like we did last time. Just to follow up though on the discussion about what we would present to the board, we would tell them what we did with the previous year's funds, and we would tell them what our plans were for our priorities for the coming year, and we would take their input on our priorities. If there's something we're overlooking, some other place that we might want to focus, we would get the input from the board at that time.
Which is what you do now.
That's what I do now. Right.
Okay, we have amendment to amendment number one, which is to add the words at least annually. Is there objection maintained?
No.
Hearing none, an amendment to amendment number one is passed. It brings the amendment back before us as amended. Is there a discussion on that?
Well, I guess the only discussion I've got, Mr. Chair, is that, I can see the value of this. I kind of wonder if we are anticipating a problem we may not have. And the one concern that I've got is, quite frankly, I think we've got both a Board of Fish and a Board of Game right now that the only people who want to serve on it are crazy not serve on it. And it's the amount of time they have to put into it. They make no friends doing it. They only make enemies, and so what we're doing is we're creating a situation in which we're saying, okay, we know you do a lot, now do more.
Okay. So are you objecting to the amendment?
I'm just going to, that's an explanation of my no vote on the amendment, Mr. Chair.
So there is objection to the amendment. Can we have roll call, please?
Senator Taylor?
Yes.
Senator Alford?
Yes.
Senator Elton?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Right, so by a vote of 4-1, the amendment has been adopted, which then brings the bill back before us. Now, we have one person on teleconference I'd like to get to. Probably should have done him earlier. Dale Bondurant in Kenai. You on, sir?
Yeah, I'm on.
Go ahead. Thanks, Dale. You're aware we already have a Kenai River, actually on any river, habitat tax credit up to 50% of the project, I think, already in place.
Well, can I make a further comment on that?
No, that's not before us right now. I'm just telling you that that's already there. What's your, you got a comment? Okay. Okay, thanks Dale for coming out.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Sure, there's no more discussion. Senator Taylor.
I move House Bill 61 as amended for the individual recommendation.
The motion to move the bill, is there objection? Hearing none, the bill will move on to the next committee. That brings us to that brings us to HJR 19. This is introduced by House Resources. It's urging, it's a resolution urging Congress to pass legislation to fund the acquisition of high resolution digital stuff. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Judy Jordan, and I'm here on behalf of Representative Drew Scalzi, whose committee schedule conflicted with yours today. Representative Scalzi is carrying HJR 19 that was introduced by the House Resources Committee, and that committee hopes to encourage Congress to provide funding that would be used to digitally map much of our state. I hope the members of the committee have had the opportunity to review the packets before you, and that you understand the numerous benefits of this mapping technique. But in brief, orthoimetry and digital mapping combine the image characteristics of aerial photography with the geometric qualities of a map. This mapping technology would greatly enhance decision-making processes pertaining to our land transfer programs, resource assessment, exploration and development, rural airport access, fire suppression, and community economic and infrastructure development. In Alaska today, important decisions must rely on many inaccurate and outdated maps, some of which were produced as long as 40 years, 50 years ago. While federally funded orthoimagery mapping is already being made available to other states, to date, Alaska has been left out of that effort. However, it's my understanding that the U.S. Geological Survey has included a $6 million initiative in its FY 2002 budget for Alaska, and other Interior Department agencies may supplement that request. Obtaining this type of mapping for Alaska is very expensive and is currently projected to cost in the neighborhood of $100 million. Digital orthoimagery for Alaska is the goal of the Alaska Geographic Data Committee, or AGDC, and that committee has collected from within the state over 50 corporate, state, native, and federal Alaska entities' endorsements for the Geological Survey Initiative. Hopefully, we have online one of the co-chairs, Mark Shaspy, on teleconference to answer any questions the chair or members of the committee may have. But before that, I would like to pass along Representative Scalzi's appreciation for your hearing this bill and his hope that you will want to support this resolution. Thank you.
Questions? I don't have anybody on teleconference that I know. Is there anybody on teleconference who wants to testify? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to wear these glasses, you know, but I didn't know what it would look like on TV here, so I'm going to have to take this back to the office and check it out. Oh, I think this is a...
It's going to change when I put the glasses on.
Sounds good. Well, it doesn't...
I'm either blind or...
It looks like it.
Oh, yeah, you put them on, they really jump out at
you. Yeah.
Turn the table.
Good idea.
HJR 19.
Motion to move the bill from the resolution from committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, that's out of here. Okay, next we have HCR 8. This is an expression of the legislature's opposition to the northern and the over the top route for natural gas pipeline. That's it. Prime sponsor is Representative Whitaker, who is joining us now. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, before you is CS for House Joint Resolution, House Concurrent Resolution, number 8. It is fairly straightforward in what it says. I might point out that it does not compete with Senate Bill 164, which stands alone as a resolution. It states clearly that the legislature, firstly, opposes an over-the-top routing, and secondly, that will do all that is within its power to encourage natural gas commercialization in a manner consistent with our maximum constitutional mandate. I could beat it to death with words. I'm of the essence, and if you have questions or concerns, I'm happy to try to answer those for you.
Well, I'll start. I met with your staff earlier, and you made a list, so hopefully you've had a chance to go over those. But the first one's on page 2, line 6, particularly. This committee has not seen anything from the Alaska Gas Line Port Authority, so it's really hard for me to say that particularly they have a financing proposal that might be superior to anything else other than the possibility of tax-exempt bonds. So I personally have, if we were going to fix it, we would, on line 6 after the comma, we would just take that out, going down through and including line 8. And then therefore be it resolved that the one on line 26, I'm not sure I can sign something that would say that I would use every power within my constitutional authority to facilitate commercialization. That could include incentives and other things that are certainly within our authority. That's a pretty broad-based statement. That, well, I would certainly do everything I can to facilitate it, but I'm not going to say that I will just do anything to facilitate it. And the same on line 31, where it says it would do anything to stop the over-the-top route. We did, all of us did, in passage of 164. But again, we're saying everything within my legislative authority. And so if you want to respond to that, you...
Certainly, Senator, I'd be happy to. Going to the first concern on line 6, I would thank you to move from the first comma on line 6 to the first comma on line 8. That was part of a CS from the Oil and Gas Committee, and I was somewhat befuddled by that myself, although I'm very familiar with the financing associated with the Port Authority. I do not think that its inclusion in this paragraph is appropriate. Okay. Reference your second concern, that being the second resolve on line 26. I might suggest that the committee consider inserting a word, and I would read it with that word inserted and make note of where it is inserted. Beginning line 26, further resolved that the legislature will exercise every reasonable power within its constitutionally required authority. And then we insert the standard, obviously, of being reasonable. I think it should have been understood, but in the world that we live in, we should assume nothing, and your concerns are appropriate and understood. And then, Senator, if I might drop to line 31, the beginning with further resolve that the legislature will exercise, again, every reasonable power. So we're not left with this arbitrary standard of, by God, we must do everything within our constitutional authority, but rather do that which is reasonable to protect the state's best interest. That's what we're here for.
We're also going to charge you a copy charge on this. This is the biggest distribution list I've ever seen on a resolution.
I might point out, too, Senator, it would not hurt my feelings if that were deleted. No, because that was put in at the Resources Committee.
Is that right?
House,
no,
I didn't object to it.
That's a dandy. We're not missing anybody, I don't think. Okay. Well, that brings the bill back before Senator Taylor.
I would then move that we delete beginning of page 2, line 6, the resolution. After the first comma, delete the words, including particularly the financial proposal of the Alaska Pipeline Alaska Gas Line Port Authority, a public authority established by the U.S. Valley for the promotion of transportation related commerce.
Yes, it is. Sorry.
Okay. So it's basically page 2, line 6, including then the word commerce on line 8, would be deleted by this amendment, and we would insert on page 2, line 26, after the word every, the word reasonable, and again on line 21, same page, after the word every, insert the word reasonable.
Okay. You have that done? Okay. That's amendment number one. Is there discussion on amendment number one? Is there objection to amendment number one? Hearing none, that's been adopted. That brings the resolution back before us. Is there discussion on the... Do you have anything else you wanted? Oh, I do have one person on teleconferencing. Sorry. Jerry McKitchen in Anchorage. Yes, it is on.
Gas stream into the petrochemicals. Yeah. That ethane
Okay, thank you, Jerry, for your testimony today. Senator Taylor.
I move that we report out committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 8, Resources, as amended by the Resources Committee with individual recommendations.
Okay, I didn't ask. Is anybody in the audience wish to testify? Anybody? Okay. The motion then is to move the concurrent resolution out of committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, then that'll move out. Committee, thank you very much. And that brings us to the bills that we heard on Friday, and we'll try to get to as many of these as we can today. We'll go down as they were posted on Friday. The first one up is SB 153. In our discussion Friday, we basically talked about adding a cap in into this. The loan program, as the bill was drafted, would again make subsidized loans available to larger corporations such as Chevron or some of the other majors. So we added on page
self-insurance requirement. Is a, what you might say, another filter that filters out most of the, I should say all of the large companies that would still remain eligible for a loan from the state. This will eliminate companies such as Chevron, Tesoro, Williams, companies of that size from basically using state funds to clean up their sites.
We did have a discussion, albeit with just a few of us, of just not having a subsidized loan for the larger corporations, and that's not in the bill. So I just point that out for the committee committees. Well, it just wasn't added in here. I think we could have come up with market plus two or something if we wanted to write it up. But I don't think they'd have any reason to use it. This in effect eliminates the anybody with net assets over $10 million. John?
Through the chair, Senator Taylor, municipalities are specifically mentioned in Section 16 that it does not apply.
Senator Elton.
Just a quick question for either Annette or John. On page 8, line 30 and 31, he's got on a form required by regulation of the department. And it seems to me that it might take a while to develop a form if we're requiring them to develop it through the regulatory process. And I'm wondering why you have that requirement.
Thank you, Senator Elton. John can probably answer this better than I can, except that they've already gone through this financial responsibility process through regulation last year with the cleanup and with SB 128. And I don't think it would be that difficult for them to go through it one more time, just so that they do a form. What you're saying is, why should it be by regulation?
To the chair, Senator Elton, we last year, I shouldn't say last year, it was 2 years ago, with SB 128, there was a filter that Senator Torgerson developed, which was a net worth filter for the grant applicants. And we were able to basically, if the effective date was July 1st, we actually had that out in public hearings by the 1st of August. So we can get this out fairly quickly.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah,
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I'm embarrassed because I didn't identify myself, Annette Kreitzer, staff to Senator Lehman, answering the question. But as I'm reading this and thinking about Senator Elton's question, I don't know that the form has to be required by regulation. I think you make a good point. That is the federal language, but the committee doesn't have to stay with that language. If you just say a form required by the department, I think that suffices. It's up to the committee.
I mean, I don't feel strongly, but if it's not going to be an impediment, I don't feel strongly about it. But
John, would you rather have it in or out?
Regulation.
The words by regulation of the, just be on a form required by the department, I guess. Or if you don't have a problem with regulation, we'll just leave it in there.
Mr. Chairman, I think at this time it should probably just stay in and we can take a look at it. Here before it. I believe that this would go on to Finance Committee, but by that time I could check with Department of Law or something. find out if there's any problem. I don't see any problem with it, sir.
Hey, could I have a motion to adopt this? Yes, Senator Taylor.
I move that we adopt Cook 42301 as the committee substitute for working document before I move the original bill.
Okay, motion to adopt Cook 42301. Is there objection? Hearing none, that is the committee substitute. Is there any more discussion on the bill? Comments, questions? Senator Taylor. Okay, motion to move the bill. Is there objection? Hearing none. Thanks, John and Lynette. That's on the next committee. Next, we have Senate Bill 111, which is an extension of the Board of an act relating to termination date of the Board of Tank Assistance. This basically sends it out. The bill we just passed goes till June 30 of 2004. This comes in at June 30, 2003, and the one-year automatic extension will put the both of them off at the same time. Is there anybody who wishes to talk on Senate Bill 115? Is there a motion? Senator Taylor. Okay. Okay, motion to move Senate Bill 115. Is there objection? Hearing none, that moves on. That brings back before us House Bill 111. We also heard this bill on Friday. This is prime sponsor Representative Coghill. It's an act relating to civil liabilities for injury or death resulting from livestock activities. I think through our hearing, well, go ahead. Did you have some things you wanted to add from our...
For the record, Reneva Moss, staff of Representative Coghill. Quite a few people weren't here Friday. Basically, this bill is the product of several meetings with 4-H members in Fairbanks that expanded statewide. They were looking for a piece of legislation that would eliminate some frivolous lawsuits that have occurred in livestock activities, both at the Palmer Fair and the Tananaw Valley Fair. I think Senator Taylor brought up some legitimate concerns Friday, and we've agreed to work with him in Judiciary to tighten up some of this stuff.
And I think most of this is Judiciary, probably more Judiciary work, unless the committee wishes to do that. My intent to move it on up here. I just believe that we should add geese to the definition of livestock.
Mr. Chairman, we didn't take note of that.
That's my big issue.
Geese?
Goose or geese or gangles.
Goose.
Yeah, they don't have that in the definition. Oh, I don't think they have swans in here either. Personally, I'm not sure I would identify livestock because we end up leaving a whole bunch of things out.
Is that llamas in there?
Yeah, they have llamas in there.
Every time you attempt to make a list with the caribou.
Cow, bison, hog, sheep, goat, musk, yak, pig, caribou, reindeer, elk, rabbit, hamster, guinea pig, horse, turkey, chicken, yeah, the horses.
Can we add moose and let the house take it out?
Yeah.
Chicken, pheasant, kefowl, pigeon, duck, horse, donkey, camel, lima, alpaca, whatever that is. Livestock does not mean dog or cat, but left out them mean geese.
They die from a duck attack.
The chair,
Chair, I move that the bill be moved to committee for judicial recommendation.
Okay, the bill does move on to Judiciary, and I'm sure the Judiciary Chairman is going to look closely at the limits of this. So, motion to move the bill to the next committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, then that bill moves out of here. Oh, that completes our agenda.
Very good. 5 to 5.
We will have a meeting on Wednesday. So I'll see you all on Wednesday.
Is that the Board of Fish stuff?
We're going to do Board of Fish on May 2nd.
May 2nd.
And Pat Pichot. So with that, we'll stand at adjourned. especially we got to show